Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that professionals face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. As we head into month 11 of 2013, I have to ask myself if I found the balance I promised myself I would find just 11 short months ago. It's always very interesting to me when people ask me how I stay so balanced. And my response has always been that you have to be in balance to stay balanced. But I think I might alter that just a bit. You see, I do believe that the definition that we might have for work-life balance may have shifted somewhat. Now, when I started out in this business just 4 short years ago, it was quite apparent that in order to be successful, you had to work your butt off. However, it didn't mean it had to be 24/7, and that was where I was heading again. I decided that I was going to have a successful business and have a successful personal life, and that I was going to solve that age-old question of, can a woman have it all? I had to be really strict with myself in order to create the balance that I was trying so desperately to have. And I wasn't alone. Now, while women are saying they're looking for a big paycheck, what they're really looking for is that work-life balance even more so. A study was done recently, which was conducted by LinkedIn and Crosstab, of more than 5,300 working women across 13 countries. And here are some of the results, which I found quite interesting. Their definition of success changed quite drastically over the past 5 to 10 years. 56% of women attributed success with earning a big paycheck, but only 45% of women think the same today. And while 39% of women previously defined success as finding the balance between work and personal life, that number has grown to 63% today. And the statistics get even more interesting, because 77% of women worldwide consider their career successful, but admit there are challenges, which will include lack of a clear career path, 51%, or that they face inequality in their pay, 44%, or they struggle with juggling family life, which is also 44%, and 33% of all of these women lack mentors or role models. So with all of these numbers, have women found that work-life balance, and can they still have successful businesses? In other words, can women have it all? So that brings me to my first guest, Amy Applebaum. Now, Amy is the founder and CEO of Amy Applebaum, Inc. It's a company dedicated to helping women all over the world so that they can create incredible lives. She is America's top coach for female entrepreneurs. And remember the statistics I just told you, 33% in the survey said that they lacked mentors or role models. Now, Amy recognizes that with our crazy economy, women have had to create their own jobs and start businesses, but they don't necessarily have all the skills needed to do that. So she launched the Release Your Inner Millionaires Coaching Club as an affordable way to help entrepreneurs get the information, steps, and coaching that they need to build their businesses from creating a vision all the way to elevating their platform. And it's been working because she's helped hundreds of thousands of women across the globe. She's appeared on ABC, CNN, TLC, Dr. Drew's Life Changers, and Martha Stewart. She's been featured in the New York Times, Cosmo, Figure, Teen, Shape, and Woman's World. She's also an author and a speaker, and more importantly, she is my friend. So, Amy, I am super excited to have you on our show today.
I am so excited to be here. I am a diehard Judy Hoberman fan and follower.
We're each other's stalkers, I believe. I think that's the
right term.
So as I was putting together the info about having a successful business and work-life balance, your face kept popping into my head. So let's just start at the beginning and let's talk about how it's done. I know you just had a baby and you run a successful business. So how do you manage to do it so well?
I don't. Oh, my God. No. You know, it's really interesting. Well, how do I manage to do it so well? I think that's kind of the key part of that question. I don't know if I always do it well, but what I do know is that it is a constant work in progress because your priorities shift, and they shift depending on what's happening. And I think where people get really caught up with the whole work-life balance thing is like equal parts to equal areas, and I don't believe life works like that. And having a baby has really taught me that. It's taught me to prioritize, especially with work. I'm actually getting more done in less amount of time. We're both raising the child together, meaning at home we both have our own businesses, and he's got her half the day and I have the other half. So I suddenly had to give up 4 hours in a work day.
So, but doesn't that say that, you know, that you work as a team, and isn't, you know, teamwork important for a woman to have, you know, that work-life balance?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Whatever that team is, you know, not everybody is in a situation where, you know, their significant other also works from home, and it seems, mm-hmm. you know, there's pros and cons to that. Some people, that team's going to be daycare, or that team's going to be another family member. So there's all sorts of ways to work it out. What I think is most critical is that you know when the balance gets off by how you feel. I know when I'm overworked and I haven't spent enough time with my child. I know that if I'm sitting there on a computer while I'm pretending to pay attention to my child, I need to make a choice. Either be with the child or be in the business and make a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, because it's not fair to her that she sees mommy as the person who doesn't have time for her in that moment. That's my priority. But what I found is that schedule, that large kind of master schedule that says this is where you spend your time, and it is so totally critical. And it's critical to follow it 85% of the time, because you have to leave room for, you know what? Like, I was supposed to work on Saturday. Didn't happen. I made a different decision. I decided I needed to spend time with my child. She needed me. That's what I did. So you've got to have that flexibility, too. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. So let me ask you a question. When I say that, when people ask me if I'm in balance, how do I stay in balance, I always say you have to be in balance to stay balanced. So do you believe that there really is, you know, a formula for work-life balance, and or do you think women can have it all?
I think women can have it all, but not all right now.
Right. Okay, perfect.
So I think that's a big mistake that people make. You know, I can – so here's my goals for the year. I'm going to have a baby, and I'm going to write 3 books, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to – and no, I don't. I don't think that you can do that all in 1 year. I think you need to manage your expectations. Do I think you can do it over a lifetime? Yes. I think we are superwomen, and we are extraordinary, and we can accomplish more than any other being on the planet. I really believe that. But do you really want to do that? At the end of the day, what you're talking about, this concept of work-life balance, is enjoying, is, mm-hmm. you know, this is such a great conversation for right now. I literally was feeling out of balance about 2 weeks ago. I was feeling a little clogged, if you know what I mean, like mentally clogged. Like, I need to get out. I need to get out of the office. I need to get away from baby. I need to go and have an experience. I need physicality in my life. All of a sudden, I decided I'm doing a 30-day yoga challenge. So right now, in the midst of everything else I have going on, I'm dedicating an hour and a half every day to going to yoga. And so people will say, are you crazy? How could you fit that in? And my response back is, how can I not?
Exactly.
I'm a better mom now that I'm carving that time out. I sat down and I said, okay, honey, I need this. How do we make this work? And we carved it out. We worked it out inside of the schedule. Am I doing it all? No. Are there 20 things on my list? There's probably 100 things on my list of things that I'm not attending to now. But I will. It just I also want to have a baby. So you can't do everything today. So I look at, what are my priorities in work? What are my priorities with her and my family? What are my priorities with my friends? And then these other things are future projects that are not off the plate. They're just not the cream at the top.
Right, right. So you have to be a little bit more focused in order to have to create the success, whatever that definition is.
That's right.
So let's just go to that little piece of it, because we always talk about being successful. In your opinion, what is a good definition? How would you describe success? Because there's a lot of women that listen to this. So, you know, in order for, you know, and we have different definitions, men and women. We all know that. So how would you describe it?
I would describe success. God, success is, this is going to sound so not profound. Success is whatever success is for you. And I really mean that. So this is what I mean by that. I would say to you, Judy, okay, if I was coaching you and we were working on what you want to accomplish, I would say, well, what does being successful mean to you? And you might say, what would you say?
Being a valuable mentor to people, providing valuable, relevant information to women, that would be successful for me.
Okay, great. And then for someone else, they might say, I want $1 million. And someone else is going to say, I don't need $1 million. I want $5,000 of income extra per month so that I can do this and this and provide security for my family. And someone else is going to say, I just want to have a nonprofit where I can give back and do this, and I don't need to generate anything more than what covers my bills. So what I would say is everyone is entitled to and should respect their own definition of success. And where we run into problems is when it's the whole, you know, trying to be like the Joneses problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to stop comparing ourselves to others and really go inward and say, what does it look like for me? You know, before I had a baby, success looked different. Now, success includes having ample time to spend with her.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know, like all of a sudden I feel like there's this whole new thing in my life that has become number one. It kicked everything out of the number one spot. And so my definition of success is different.
Right.
It's just different. And it includes her. And so when I start thinking about how I want to generate revenue, it's different. Maybe before I wanted to engage more with people. Now I want to create more. I don't want to disengage with people, but the way that I engage with people is different. I want to do stuff more remotely. I want to create more passive income streams. This allows me more time with her. So those things shift and change, not only with your own life, but based on what's important to you. So I really encourage people to not, when they're deciding their vision for their life, and then, you know, your business is, of course, included in that, that you really look at what's going to make you happy, not what your mom's idea of you being happy is or your dad's idea, because we can kind of fall into those traps, you know?
Right, right.
The, you know, it's not, I'm not good enough trap and I'll never get there trap, or I have to be what my mom wants me to be, or there's so many of these traps we can fall into, and we really have to listen, go inward, listen to ourselves. I don't mean to get spiritual on you, but I think it's a spiritual experience to say, what do I want?
Right.
And then, I was just going to say, and then begin to create your life to support that.
Okay, so let's just go one step further. Do you think that women are afraid of being successful? Is that something that, you know, because I know you mentor, you coach and everything else as well as I do, and I hear that they're afraid of being successful, or they don't know how to get there. But do you think women are actually afraid of being successful?
I think that's such a weird thing for someone to admit, right? I'm afraid to be successful. I don't think people are thinking that they're afraid to be successful. What I think is happening is, A, women, at least in you know, the last 100 years, we haven't been, you know, right now there's like an entrepreneurial revolution when it comes to women, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like we're coming back, you know. I don't know how long ago it was, because I'm terrible when it comes to time periods, but there was a time when women were the workers, and we've come back to that. Like, women are really jumping in. But we're still new again at this. And so women aren't used to asking for money still. There's plenty of really high-powered women out there, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is there's tons of women booming onto the scene, and they're putting themselves in positions where they have businesses and careers, and they need to ask for money in exchange for services. They're still not totally comfortable with that. So to answer your question, what I'm saying is there is a conversation about, hey, but I just want to make sure that people are valuable, and I'm afraid to collect money for that. There are money conversations going on.
Mm-hmm.
There are
mm-hmm.
confidence issues going on. I don't like to say women are afraid of success. I like to say some of these women just are not in the habit of being successful, listening to what it is that they want and going for it. So they need some mentorship and they need some practice.
Perfect. And we're going to hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that when we come back. Remember, you can call in with questions by dialing 347-989-1363. Press number 1 and my producer will get you on the show, and you can ask Amy all the questions you want. So we're going to take a short break and come right back and continue talking to Amy Applebaum about being successful. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Would you like to be more up to date with the real estate market? Do you have some nagging questions you want answered by experts who don't have anything to gain or lose by telling you a straight answer? Tune in to Fast Talk with Vicki Wachtel and get the latest on this fast-paced market. Start your Mondays off well-informed by listening to Vicki's Tell It Like It Is brand of wisdom. Listen live Mondays, 8:30 a.m. on the Tough Talk Radio Network by going to fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com. Miss the show but want to go back and listen? That's okay. Just visit fasttalkwithvickiwachtel.com to catch up on past episodes. Fast Talk Mondays, 8:30 a.m. Central.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. Gambone.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. We're talking to Amy Applebaum about being successful. Okay, so Amy, I think one of the equations that I always talk about is success and a client is really the derivative or the most common denominator is really going to be having a coach or a mentor, having an accountability partner. Do you think that there is a major role in being successful? Can you do it without a coach or a mentor? Is it something you do alone?
I mean, it's such a great question. And, of course, everyone who knows me, if any of your listeners do, I'm a success coach, so of course I'm going to say, yeah, you need a mentor. But like that aside, why would anyone not do it with a mentor? I mean, this is not about me and the fact that I'm a coach. Like, I have horror stories of failures in my business that have happened as a result of not having mentors, somebody to emulate, somebody, a role model, and then an advisor, like someone who can get in there and say, I've done this before, and not only have I done it, but I've done it successfully. Here's 100 ways that you're not going to make the same mistakes that I did. Not only that, you can build your business 100 times faster because you're not having to go through all of some of those motions. Now, that being said, I just want to complete that by saying, don't think that that gets you off the hook from failures and fear, because it absolutely does not. Mm-hmm. You are still going to make a ton of mistakes and be afraid every step of the way, because until you've done it, you haven't done it. But that being said, you're going to save yourself time, energy, money, and grief. By having somebody there, you're also going to feel supported. It's so much more fun to have a team of people who are rooting for you and showing you the way.
Right, but you also have to, I mean, there's another side to that. It's not just all about fun. You have an accountability partner that says, what the heck are you doing?
That's right. You know? So, yeah. 100%. Hold you, keep you on track, because that is actually such a great point, because one of the biggest reasons why people fail in business is lack of momentum. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, when you're first starting, you don't have a lot of momentum. And so you have to kind of live on fumes, as I like to call it. Right? You're living on fumes, right, on the idea and the vision of being successful. And it's just like when you, I think about it like, you know, when you first start working out, the first 2 weeks, you're like, aren't I supposed to get more energy from working out? Oh, my God. I hate it. My body looks exactly the same as it did when I first went in here, and I have no energy. It's exhausting. But once you get through that first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, all of a sudden, you start to see shifts and you start to feel them. So you have to hang in there, and that accountability is critical.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about women in business. You know how many times women start a business and their friends and their family say, oh, what a lovely little hobby you're having. How do you turn that around and make it a real business? And I know that's something that you talk about, you know, making sure that this is a real business. So how do you, you know, just a couple of little ideas.
Yeah. First, you get a team of mentors. Number one, primary, get a team of mentors. And that's going to include a coach. It's going to be books. It's going to be workshops. It's going to be whatever you want to create your success formula to be. Get in an incubator program. And I know, you know, I'll talk to you a little bit about ours. But there's a few things that you need to pay attention to if you're going to be serious about your business. First, you need a clear, articulated vision. You need to know very clearly where you're going. You mentioned a statistic at the top of the call about how people are still confused about where they're going in their careers, and you can't be. It doesn't mean you can't change your mind. You can be on one course and then change your mind, but mm-hmm. you can't be halfway on a course, because if you're halfway on a course, then you're really not on course. So that clear, articulated vision for that time period is absolutely critical. You have to have a personal brand. And I say personal meaning you're a company brand. If you're the personality behind your brand, you'll need that. But you need a compelling brand, a brand that stands out so that you are lifted up inside of your competition. People see you. They know you're there. You have something that makes you special and unique and why people would want your products and services. And then from there, once you've identified those two things, then, of course, you need to make sure that you have solid sales and marketing plans. And, you know, you're like selling in the skirt diva when it comes to sales. And for me, it's one of the biggest things that I push in my coaching club is sales. I can't believe how many entrepreneurs, and this is all the hobbyists out there, do not pay attention to sales. And I have one thing to say about it. Sales is the food for your business. That's it. Don't feed it and it will die.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's move over now, because you're talking about, you've created this Release Your Inner Millionaires Coaching Club, which has to do with lots of the things that you're pointing out. So tell our listeners, what does that actually look like?
Well, I created, for this exact reason, I created a one-year business accelerator program for two types of entrepreneurs. People who are just starting, and then people who have been in business. You could have been in business 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, doesn't matter, but you're struggling. You are not achieving the level that you would have hoped, both in terms of clients that you serve and money that you make. And basically, what I do is take you through the process of building your business step by step. This isn't a six-week program where you're going to come in and then I'm going to tell you that you can get rich quick. This is a commitment for serious entrepreneurs. So if you want to move from, as you said earlier, a hobbyist to an entrepreneur quickly, this is the type of program that you'll get in. And this is how much time it takes. I always say to women, if you're telling me that a year, you don't have a year to dedicate to your business, then you really are only looking at this as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm imagining that you're going to be in business for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So 1 year is just like nothing. It's like marriage, right? The first year is nothing. It's just an engagement. So
right.
During that 1 year, we are going to do everything from getting your vision sorted out. We're going to talk about systems, structures, make sure that you have a clear target market, that you've done the research, that your business is viable. Even if you're already established, one of the problems can be is that you don't have a demand for your products and services. We'll go through all of that. You'll set up systems, structures. You'll create a compelling brand so that you can attract customers to you instead of having to chase them down. And then we'll take you through sales and marketing. And during that time, we'll teach you how to sell comfortably. One of the things that I know you teach, Judy, is we don't have to, as women, you know, shove things down people's throats. What we're really doing is sharing. We're really sharing what we have and how it can help them. And so we teach you how to do that. We also work on elevating your brand, so taking it a step further, which can be everything from publicity to writing books. What you get as you're going through this year isn't, though, just information. You have access to a coach every single week, and that is what's critical about this. So you'll get all of the training. You'll get, you know, all of the assignments so you know what to do and when to do it, and you're never stuck in your business going, God, what am I supposed to do now, which is a big complaint for women business owners. And mm-hmm. then you'll get advice. You'll have access to me every week to ask your questions to keep you on track.
And I'm going to say having access to you is absolutely incredible. So why don't you let everybody know how they can get access to you? Because I'm sure there are going to be people that want to continue the conversation with you.
Well, you can reach out if you want to check out the website and everything that we offer and this Business Accelerator Program, which is called My Success Project. Go to amyapplebaum.com and go to the coaching club, and you can check it all out there. If you have specific questions about our private coaching or any other of the services that we can help you with, you can actually reach directly out to my executive director, Laura, and you can reach her at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at amyapplebaum.com.
Okay, awesome. So let me ask a question for you. You know, this is my favorite question that I ask everybody. If you knew then what you know now, would you change anything?
No. And I bet everybody has a different answer. I mean, it's really interesting. Well, yeah, I would have gotten mentors in my business. I was just, you know what, I was thinking of my daughter, and so I had kind of a more of a personal moment. I wouldn't change anything, because if anything would have been different, I might not have met, you know, my honey that gave me my baby. So, no, I wouldn't change anything about the course of my life. In business, the one main thing I would have done differently was get entrepreneurs much earlier, because I really, really struggled in business for the first 3 years in ways I did not need to. I was stubborn. I would have done it differently. I think those mentors can really save you a lot of time and pain and get you to what you want, which is money and freedom, so that you can spend time with your family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's always interesting. Everybody has a different goal as when they come onto the show that they have for our listeners. What's your goal for the listeners today? What do you want them to get out of this?
You know, I feel like these days I want people to believe in their dreams. And that might sound incredibly cliche, but if you I almost think believing in your dreams is somehow better than even accomplishing them. I think as women, we really want to feel like we are purpose-filled. We get up every day, and there's a reason we're getting up, something that we're working towards. And so I just want to give everybody permission to dream. It doesn't mean you have to commit to everything that you dream about. But dreaming gives us energy and creativity and inspiration and spirit, and I think we need that.
Totally agree. Well, Amy, can you believe that our time is up? I mean, I love talking to you, and I know we could go on for hours. So you need to promise me that you'll come back so we can dive even further into another conversation.
Anytime you want me, I'm there.
Okay. And, you know, I want everybody to understand that by the time we say goodbye, there will be a link to Amy's email, I mean to Amy's website on Facebook, on LinkedIn. It'll be all over the place because we want you to connect with her. She is absolutely amazeballs. So we're going to take a short break to make sure we thank our sponsors and let you know that if you go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, you can find out about all the other amazing shows we have on our schedule. We'll be right back with our next guest. We'll be talking about laughter and the workplace.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Making Life Easy is an electrifying and positive talk show filled with conversation to embrace the path for parents raising teenagers. Based on teachings from The Lesson Plan, author, parent, and teacher Gwen Gustav welcomes professionals, parents, and teenagers to the show to guide listeners on an educational journey. No matter what the subject, communication is the answer. Join Gwen on Making Life Easy Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. For more information, go to MakingLifeEasyWithGwenGustav.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. One great way to stay connected with us is to make sure you like us on Tough Talk Radio Network and Selling in a Skirt on Facebook. This way you won't miss any of the conversations we're having and sharing. Okay, so Amy Applebaum is a great example of both being a successful entrepreneur while also being successful at taking care of her family. It looks like she's balanced and she's enjoying her successes on both sides. So now we're going to take a little shift. How can you make your day at work more fun and at the same time be productive? Is that a possibility? What about goofing off? Does it have a place at work? Is that the secret of having some balance? Well, I'm really excited to bring in my next guest, Claire Billingsley. She's the CEO of Billingsley Consulting Group, a training and communications firm designed to help businesses, associations, and educational institutions grow through personal and professional development. Claire has experienced coaching managers on social and communication skills, leadership skills, time management and organizational skills, personal management, and as well as personal and professional development. She has held leadership and management positions with Sylvan Learning Systems, Fast Signs International, and Tony and Guy Hairdressing Academy. With over 20 years of business experience, she learned the strategies and skills necessary to lead, manage, and motivate employees spread all over the world. Claire is a graduate of Emporia State University, a certified franchise executive through the International Franchise Association, and a trained executive business coach. She's chairman of the board at the University of North Texas Professional Leadership Program, College of Business. Now, calling on her background in improvisational comedy, Claire's workshops use participatory-style training methods that teach practical knowledge and skills through highly interactive methodologies and real-life business lessons. Her workshops take the skills and guiding principles taught through improvisational comedy and demonstrates how they transfer to the workplace. Her techniques help individuals and organizations foster innovation, build confidence, take initiative, improve communication skills, collaborate, take risks, and enhance creativity. In 2010, Claire was named one of the top 25 women to watch in Dallas by the Dallas Business Journal, and most recently has been certified as a laughter yoga leader. Claire and I have known each other for years, and I am also a true stalker in the most positive way. So welcome to the show, Claire.
Hi, Judy. Thank you so much.
You see, so we get to laugh already.
It's the best medicine.
I know. Imagine, just imagine that we get to talk about laughing and fun in the workplace. I mean, what's better than that?
I know. I love my life.
I know. So let's tell everybody, why is this such an important concept for people to understand?
Well, you know, laughter is, a universal language. Everyone on the entire planet understands laughter. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, in Japan or if you're in Indonesia or here in America. You know, we all get it. And the benefits of laughter wherever you are, whether it's in a workplace or in your home environment, it's all the same. It's all about bringing your energy level up. It's clearing your mind, and there's a lot of physical benefits, you know, like creating endorphins in your body and lowering your blood pressure. So, I mean, all of those things combined, as well as releasing the creative juices that come out of getting into your heart, which is what laughter allows you to do, and get out of your head, you know, all of those things in combination bring brilliance to the table in your workplace specifically.
So then it really is possible to laugh and be productive.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really, I don't know what happened to our culture that decided that laughter was unproductive. Because when you think about the best teams, they always are, you know, they have inside jokes, you know, and it's because they've taken enough time to learn about each other and kind of play with each other, but still understand when there's work to be done to get it done. And I think of sporting teams a lot of times when I think of like this, you know, because with the Rangers, for example, they have a very light side to their clubhouse. They tease each other a lot. You know, they play games with each other in the lockers and everything like that. But when they get on the field, they know each other well enough to know who can do what, and they take their jobs very seriously. And it's through developing those relationships, which I know that you emphasize in Selling with a Skirt, when you develop those relationships, then things flow better.
Okay. So let's go another step. What about goofing off? You know, I mean, as well as I do, Claire, that there's thousands of people that go to work every day, they goof off, they play games on their computer. You know, is there really a place for goofing off at work, and how do you turn that into a positive?
Well, you know, goofing off releases a lot of stress and helps people kind of get make a shift from one place to the next. And so, you know, it's almost like a pattern interrupt in a conversation where, you know, you just blow off a little steam, you have a little bit of goofing off, and then you go back into the work flow. You can take it too far, and that's one of the things when I'm working with people I am very careful to be clear about, is that, you know, there is a difference between wasting time and you know, having some lightness in your workplace. There's also a difference between what kind of lightness you can bring. You know, you never ever want to hurt anyone or damage anyone's reputation or scare them with this kind of stuff. It's all in fun, but it's also about making sure that everyone's safe in the environment. But there's a study from Cal State that they actually studied fun at work, and people that have fun on the job are more creative, they're more productive, they're better decision makers, and they get along better with coworkers. They have fewer absenteeism, they are late less often, and they use less sick days than people who aren't having fun. So there's really a productivity benefit as well to the company owner.
Okay, so let's talk about specifically with women, because you know as well as I do that one of the things that we hear all the time about women is that they're not taken seriously at work. So mm-hmm. does laughter and all of this enter into their repertoire, or does it take them right off the, you know, be taking serious role?
You know, I think it's the way you handle the laughter. I use it a lot to break the ice with new people that I'm dealing with, and it seems to put them at ease very, very quickly. And then once you develop that rapport with them, then it is still up to you to show them that you know what you're talking about. But I don't know that, you know, having a little bit of fun at the beginning of the conversation is going to eliminate you from you know, this being the subject matter expert. In fact, if you can use humor to break down an initial barrier, you're going to have an even deeper conversation with that person because they're going to be more receptive to you. And so, you know, I think it's being smart about what way you use humor and the type of humor that you use. For example, if you're meeting someone for the very first time, my recommendation would not be to go blue, which means to use anything that could be derogatory or offensive. You know, some people
right.
go right there for the jugular. You know, it's like, you know, it's more about looking at the environment, reading the person's body language, understanding, you know, if they've got an open body language, then they're probably going to be a little bit more open to a little bit of banter. If they're closed, you might just you know, have a smile on your face. It doesn't necessarily have to be feeling like you're, you know, telling a joke per se. It's more about tapping into personality.
Right. And so you don't have to go in, you know, right away with a joke that's off color, because, well, you shouldn't do that anyway, but you don't want to do that because that makes it just so much. Well, I mean, have you ever seen women that really want to get into the same role as their, you know, male counterparts, and they go right down to that same level where they tell these jokes and you're thinking, you didn't really just do that, but people
yes,
do that.
You're exactly right, and I see that very frequently when they're trying to be one of the guys outside of the work environment. And it's critical, especially for women, as hard as we work to get into the leadership positions, to remember that, you know, there is a reason that we're women and they're men, and we want to keep that balance, because going to that, and I don't want to say going to that level really, but to go with your point, it is not necessary to hold your space and your power by telling jokes like that. There's more productive ways to use humor and still have your power at work.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Okay, so do you think that laughter and humor in the workplace helps us with our work-life balance? Because that's what we're talking about today. Like, how does that fit in?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when you have a bank account and you've got this bank account that you keep pulling, you know, withdrawals out of. After a while, if you're not putting things back in, it gets depleted, and sometimes it even goes into the negative realm. And what laughter and humor and lightness bring is that balance to help with that stress, the stress withdrawals from work and the, you know, I've got a tight deadline stress that I've got going on, or you know, the computer program blew up and so we had to work 24/7 for the last 3 days. You know, if you don't break those intense times up with a little bit of lightness, then you're going to actually go out of balance. And mm-hmm. so, you know what I mean? It's like, it's really important to honor that part of yourself and allow yourself to, during those stressful times, see the humor in it, you know, see what, you know, or some, you know, joke around with each other at break points to just allow yourself to get out of that high, that intense energy and allow yourself to kind of take a break. It's kind of like putting your, if you saw yourself as a cell phone and you're putting yourself in your charger, you don't maybe have to be in that charger very long to get a lot of juice, but it's important to get that juice so you can sustain on into that next phase. Does that make sense?
Right. Absolutely. You know, I always tell everybody I'm my own best audience. So if you don't feel like laughing with me, I don't care if you laugh at me. It really doesn't matter as long as you're laughing. So, and I do. I tell everybody I am my own best audience. It doesn't really matter. I have fun. So, okay. So you talk about.
And that's why I love you so much, Judy. You always have a smile on your face. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you never let you see. Don't let anybody see you sweat. That's the point.
No.
Okay. So you talk about yes and as two powerful mm-hmm. words that can open possibilities. What does that
yes.
look like?
Well, in improv, we have basically 10 rules of guidelines that we follow just to kind of help ourselves move and navigate through that whole scene building together. And so yes and is the cornerstone of improv, and it dovetails beautifully into the business world, and I'll let you know why. Yes and is a way to continue conversations and help them move forward. Just think about it. Whenever you've been in, for example, a brainstorming session, and everyone's together, and the first thing out of somebody's mouth, you know, their first idea, and then the boss goes, well, yeah, but we tried that last year and it didn't work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like saying, yeah, I'm agreeing, yeah, you do have an idea, but this isn't going to work. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Then the other one is no, but, you know, and then it's like, you know, no, your idea is not valid and my idea is even better. So really both of those, even though yes, but sounds a little nicer, they're still negating what the person is saying. So yes, and takes every idea and celebrates it and allows it to hold space on its own. And in brainstorming sessions, I train managers how to use yes and as a way to get into the real brilliant ideas. And the idea behind that is that in improv, to go back to that example, we play in our heads this game called 10 things. And so we get an idea from the audience and we think of 10 things or 10 words that directly correlate to that word. And we never, ever pick the first two or three because the audience can also think of those two or three. Our brilliant ideas come from the things that happen 7, 8, 9, and 10. So, you know, we try to bring the ideas that we think of later into the conversation to watch the audience discover with us how their suggestion is being brought into the scene. Okay, so like for an example, turtle might have been the suggestion. And there's a lot of words that everyone can think of off the top of their head, like brown and green and water and shell and things like that. But what about turtle wax or turtleneck or the candy turtle? What if we brought that into the scene and the audience gets to discover where their suggestion is coming into the it's just smarter. It's a smarter way. All right, so you bring that into brainstorming, and you don't cut off the brainstorming at the first pass. We keep digging. We keep digging. We keep yes-anding. And about idea 25 is really when you're going to start getting into the good stuff. And that's where you find your secret weapon, where your competition is going to say, why didn't we think of that? Well, it's because you stopped your brainstorming before the creativity really kicked in.
Okay, awesome. Well, I just so you know, I thought of turtle soup, and I don't even eat that. But
awesome. But that's great. See, you're way beyond the top three.
And I've been to workshops and been involved with PLP with you, and I have to say that laughing really is the best medicine, and happy people can be quite productive. And so with that, we're going to hold those thoughts, because we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with Claire Billingsley and talk about that secret that the other companies, that your competitors are saying, okay, so why didn't I think of that? So we're going to continue with that conversation. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you concerned about your job? Concerned about losing it? Concerned about being repositioned in the workplace? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, or even if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, then join the conversation with Charlie and his guests every Monday at 7 p.m. Central on Corporate Talk with Charlie Labasco, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Okay, Claire, so is it as simple as listing things like 1 to 10 that makes our competition say, why didn't I think of it? Is it that simple that you're making people brainstorm? Is that the secret?
Well, it's the beginning of the secret, Judy, because once you get those ideas flowing and people feel that it's a safe place for them to get their ideas out, then, and there are no barriers to any idea, there's no judgment around any ideas that's being listed, then people start thinking in a much more deeper creative way. And, you know, we have three brains, basically. We have our head, our heart, and our gut. And when you allow yourself to play and get into that heartfelt space, the baroreceptors in your heart allow you to think much more creatively, like a 5-year-old, rather than with all of the screens and the judgments around things that happen when we grow up. And so it's not just listing things, but it's getting the right environment and the culture to accept that shift to where people can be safely creative. And it's all a part of a process that allows people to feel like they're helping. And, I mean, it's amazing. People want to help all the time. Most of the time they're just asked. They're waiting to be asked. Mm-hmm. But people do have a tendency to support what they help to create. And so if you allow everyone, I mean, even your admin people have great ideas. They're on the front line. They hear stuff all the time. But you have to give them a voice. And once you give them a voice, you're going to be amazed at what kind of ideas they come up with. And the other thing I would recommend, Judy, is, you know what, a lot of times brainstorming is done on either a whiteboard or on flip chart paper. Never, ever throw any of those ideas away. Maybe they're not appropriate for this particular situation, but they may be really great for the next item down the road. So capture those things by either photographing your whiteboard before you erase it, or save those flip chart pages and type them up into just an idea database of some sort.
And, you know, it's so funny, Claire, because when I was working in an insurance company for a while, we would have these quote-unquote brainstorming sessions, yet each department was separate. It was like Clark Kent and Superman. You never had the same. You never had two departments there at the same time, because God forbid you had like somebody wanted to say something and you were afraid to make a comment. So first you might have the people that build the product, and then you might have actuaries, and then you might have compliance, and so you would end up spinning your wheels because the brainstorming made no sense because it was nobody ever agreed to anything. You had to keep starting all over again. So your idea of, having everybody in one room and not having the silos and having open communication makes perfect sense.
Well, thank you. I think so too. And that's my mission, is to help others see that so they can really, to use your term, break down those silos. The silos are so dangerous, mm-hmm. Especially as things are rapidly changing in our world. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's like four generations in the workplace now.
Yeah.
And there are our consumers are much more they're much more savvy consumers, and we have to be able to relate to all the four generations that are out there. We have to be able to relate to these really smart buyers that are out there, and we have to get their attention in a very noisy world. And so we need all hands on deck. We need the millennials helping the baby boomers understand what relates to them. And we won't do that unless we listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree. Okay. So I'm going to shift again. Let's talk about your book, Circle Up. I mean, it's an exciting book. I know you were so glad when you finally were able to get this out. Tell us the story behind it.
Well, I've been doing improv for about 10 years, and I've been in the workplace for over 20. And about year four after being in improv, I started really seeing a lot of correlations between the workplace and improv, and this idea of bringing the what we call the 10 general orders of improv into the workplace just started incubating. And I was working full-time and really didn't have a chance to get all these ideas out of my head and into paper. But about 3 years ago, I made a shift, and I took a leave of absence from the workplace and became a solopreneur. And at that point, I was able to kind of do a brain dump of everything that I'd been gathering in my mind and things that I'd done in seminars and team building and put it together. And so the idea of Circle Up is to create a culture of fun and productivity through the lens of improvisational comedy. And each chapter relates to one of the rules of improv. And chapter six, we discussed earlier in the yes and portion of our conversation, and I've actually taken that and put it into an e-learning module that walks a manager through not only the exercise of step-by-step of how to create these brainstorming sessions using yes and, but also the information to sell the idea to his or her boss to be able to let them know the science behind and the benefit of doing this type of exercise. So I am, you're right, very, very excited about my book. It's a dream come true to be an author, and it's amazing. Once you have a book, people think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, people always say to me, do you need a book to become an expert? No, but once you have a book, they consider you an expert.
That's exactly right.
I know. So where can our listeners find your book and everything else you're putting out there?
Well, you can find my book in two places. You can go to my website, which is BillingsleyConsultingGroup.com, and you can buy my book online there, or you can go to Amazon and look up Circle Up by Claire Billingsley, and you can purchase it there. Also, if listeners want to follow me, my Twitter handle is ImprovBizClaire, and then they can also find me on Facebook, which is either under Claire Billingsley or the Laughter Yoga / Wine Down Yoga page that we have.
Okay.
And that is so, wine, W-I-N-E.
Yes, I was going to say, this is not, you're not whining, this is wine.
No, right.
I know. And we'll have a link up for everybody as well. So tell me, Claire, what's the best advice you've ever received? Because I know that, you know, as coaches and as trainers, we give out a lot of advice. So let's turn the table on you. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Listen before you speak.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, and really what that means is that our minds work really fast. You know, we can take in a lot more words per minute than someone can speak. But if you slow yourself down enough and allow yourself to be in the present moment and not be thinking about the next thing that you want to say, you are going to build a stronger connection, have a better relationship with that person, and you're going to be able to sell better. They're going to buy from you because you're going to listen well enough to be able to repeat back the exact words that they used, and they're going to think that you just read their mind. All you did is pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's their goal for your listener, for all the listeners today? If you had to give them just a piece of advice, what would you tell them?
As far as an action item for them to actually do today?
Sure.
Try yes anding. Try yes anding. Maybe just go to the 7-Eleven and yes and the clerk behind the counter and see what kind of response you get.
And say, Claire,
I guarantee they're going to be like, what's going on? Are you trying to put a spell on me? Why are you agreeing with me?
Yeah.
Why aren't you arguing with me?
Yeah, and Claire sent us. It's like when somebody says to you, how are you? And you come back with this answer, I'm perfect. And they look at you like, what? Or you come back and say, I'm fabulous. They don't know what to say to you because everybody's like, I'm good. I'm this. So when you come up with this answer, they look at you like, are you crazy or what?
But you got their attention, didn't you?
I know. Okay, so my favorite question of all, and I ask just about everybody this, if you knew then what you know now, would you change anything?
Oh, boy. Would I change anything? Yes, I would. And what that is I would change my confidence level to be where it is now. You know what? This is the way I want to put this. I would take the confidence level I had as a 5-year-old and I would maintain it throughout my entire career. Because when you're 5, you are brave and you're not afraid of anything. And guess what? We're still that person inside, but we let other people talk us out of that. And so my advice would be to not let people talk yourself out of being your inner 5-year-old. Celebrate that person because that is who you authentically are. And when you're authentic, that is when, you know, you gain people's trust. You get followers. Whatever it is that you're looking for, authenticity will bring it to you.
And isn't it interesting that we forget the child in us? We do. We forget how to play. We forget how to, you know, to share. We forget all these things that we learned. And why is that? I don't know why that is.
It's, you know, by the time people are in high school, you know, when you're 5 years old, there are studies that show that 99% of the kids are creative geniuses. And when you graduate from high school, the number goes to 12%. And it's really because of our culture. It's our environment. And we have to change that. We have to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the laughter in the workplace is, you know, a good first step. Well, Ms. Claire, yes, I loved our time together, and I want you to continue keeping us all laughing and productive and balanced, and I do hope you'll come back so that we can continue our conversation.
Oh, I would love that. Absolutely.
Absolutely
good. I need to get you on my radio show, too.
Absolutely. I'm there for you. And let's make sure we thank all our listeners as well. Make sure you tune in every Monday at noon Central, where we'll share some extraordinary guests, ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.